Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Thursday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says U.S. non-farm productivity was much weaker than initially estimated in the fourth quarter, as output contracted at its steepest pace since 1982. Non-farm productivity fell at a revised 0.4% annual rate, sharply below initial estimates of a 3.2% advance published last month and 2.2% rise in the third quarter. USDA released its export sales report for the week ending February 26th. In millions of metric tons, the numbers look like this: wheat this year, 10.5, next year, 0.8, corn this year, 31.2, soybeans this year, 5.7. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, now trading at 67.67, is down 108 points. The NASDAQ 1339 is down 14. The S&P 500 700 is down 12 points.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Join us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana next Tuesday, that's March 10th, for the 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook Meeting. Full details are on the website at willag.org. Registration begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. The cost is just $16, and it includes a light continental breakfast and lunch as well. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting: the Andersons, DTN, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities. Joining us now with a look at the day's agricultural weather is our very own AM 580's Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. And in Argentina this morning, rain ended early this morning, actually early yesterday morning. They picked up another 0.1 to 0.6 of an inch, with local amounts up to 1.75 inches. Most of the precipitation was along the corridor from Santiago del Estero into Santa Fe to Entre Rios and northern Buenos Aires, leaving the remainder of the nation's grain area dry. High temperatures, 70s and lower 80s in the summer grain and oilseed country, while 90s and over 100 degree readings were found in the northeastern areas where the cotton is grown. The forecast looks like they are going to see a two-day storm, or at least a two-storm system, for the second week of a 10-day to 2-week outlook period, being slightly delayed. The scenario lies for net drying to dominate Argentina today through Wednesday of next week. A few coastal areas in Buenos Aires are expected to pick up a few showers, but other than the insignificant precipitation picked up late this weekend and early next week, there will be little precipitation, or little chance for precipitation. Two storms are being pegged on the computer models for the March 12th through 18th period, not expected to be as large as that occurred yesterday, but the moisture will provide some support for the immature crops. Some delays in the corn and sunseed area harvest will occur in the, again, March 12th through 18th period, but little harm will come to the unharvested crop unless the rainfall does produce greater than expected amounts. In Brazil, showers and thunderstorms are still expected to resume across the region during the next week to 10 days. Situation will be beneficial in assuring no late-season crop region turns too dry too soon. Meanwhile, the increasing precipitation will translate into slower harvest progress. Field work will continue around the expected precipitation. Harvesting was ahead of schedule late last week, and nothing more than favorable conditions have been occurring since. It does look like late-season crops have had favorable subsoil moisture to tap into, resulting in no stress or concerns over dryness. Now, the U.S., we're getting a shot of mild air across the Corn Belt, but it shouldn't put anybody into any anticipation of getting out into the field soon. There will be much below normal temperatures moving back into the western plains and moving into the Midwest. It looks like that'll take place sometime late in the week next week. And there could be some periods of heavy snow moving across Wisconsin, mainly in the northern two-thirds of Wisconsin, and that'll start to push towards Iowa on the 9th and 10th of this month, moving into western Iowa. So the warm-up in temperatures may cause a little bit of anticipation to get out there, but there's nothing long-term about this warm-up. The rapid warming trend in the east with the high pressure shifting offshore, temperatures are expected to be above normal through the weekend, and then colder air will push into the area. On the plains, pasture and winter grains continue to deteriorate across the southern portion of the region due to the unusual warmth and the lack of moisture. On the Corn Belt, mild weather has melted away most of the snow cover, except in the northern tier of states, and warmth in the Ohio River Valley may coax the winter wheat out of dormancy. But again, we're going to have another shot of cooler than normal conditions pushing back into the area. In the Delta in the southeast, mostly dry, warm weather will continue through Sunday and in most of the southeastern states into Monday. Period of drying will allow the floodwaters to recede, and some early planting and pre-planting field work will begin in portions of the southern Delta into Georgia and Florida. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City May wheat opened at 566 and a half, down a half. Last trade down 6 3/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 515, up 3 1/4. Last trade up 4 1/2. May, though, 524 up 1, last trade down 5. July, 536 up 1, last trade down 5 3/4. December, 582 3/4, up 2 1/4, last trade down 6. March corn opened at 355 down 1/4, last trade down 6 1/4. May, 363 1/4, down 1/4, last trade down 4 3/4. July, 372 3/4, unchanged, last trade down 4 1/4. Take it out to December, 394 up 1/4, last trade down 4 1/2. March beans, 876 up 1/2, last trade down 7 1/2. May, 868 1/4, down 1/4, last trade down 7. July, 868 up 1/4, last trade down 5 1/2. November, 810 down 1/4, last trade down 1/4. May soybean meal, 267.30 unchanged, last trade down $2. May soybean oil, 31.10 up 11, last trade down 21. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
We had export sales for the week, and we see that soybeans came in at 5.7 million metric tons. Is the China gravy train for this marketing year over?
The only China business we saw on those bookings report really was a big switch from unknown destinations to China. So we probably be slowing things down. Looks like the focus will be on exports coming out of South America. That, I think, it noteworthy that 5.7 million bushels is a marketing year low this far. We'll be down for maybe as much as 8 or 9 cents. I look for bear spreading probably. We've been seeing bull spreading in the market the first part of the week, the last part of last week, and I look to see those bull spreads coming off, so bear spreading. Argentina issues are still a question mark. Strong basis. But I think our China business is slowing.
Corn were solid on the week, but given that we're so far behind, nothing to write home about, I suppose.
Yeah, we're still about 800 million bushels behind where we were a year ago. We'll be down 2 to 5 this morning at the outset. I was watching the July corn last night on the overnight trade, and 375 is a resistance area. We got to 374.5 yesterday. We couldn't touch over that overnight. The stock market's lower today. Crude oil's down 75 cents a barrel. We need to see better exports than this to get things cranked up again.
And in the wheat?
On the wheat, we're still going to talk about dryness in the southern plains, but that's not going to be enough to lift this market. We saw short covering come into the market yesterday. Still have awfully big deliveries continuing. We'll be down a nickel, maybe as much as 7 or 8 cents.
Before we go to the livestock, a quick question back to the corn. Is 375 July a pretty stout resistance in your mindset?
Yeah, I think between there and about 378, it is going to be pretty troublesome.
All right. And CME livestock then?
On the livestock, I think both the cattle and the hogs will be a little bit firmer today. Cattle futures, I think, will be up just a hair, maybe 10, as much as 40 or 50 cents. Stronger cutouts, talk about a little bit better box beef movement it is not encouraging. On the hog side, I think we'll be up maybe a dime to a quarter, something along that line. The thing that would be very encouraging to me is if the hog market would gap higher. We did yesterday. It looked kind of bullish, but we didn't have a lot of upside momentum.
How big is the gap?
It's a pretty darn big gap. And the thing that I noticed that we saw is then we saw kind of a dull trade after that gap up. I'd rather see a little bit more action.
Thank you much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView. She is in Morton, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.